You are listening to a message from ICS Church. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.
Welcome once again to ICS Church. My name is Chad. I'm one of the pastors here. It is a joy for us always, always to have you join us today. If it's your very first time, you can find out more about the church by visiting our website at ics.church. The title for today's message is Future Proof. Future Proof. But before that, I want to greet you a happy birthday. Maybe saying, hey, it's not my birthday. No, it's not mine either, but it is the global church's birthday today. Pentecost Sunday is being celebrated on the Christian calendar around the world, and it was on Pentecost Sunday in Jerusalem many hundreds of years ago that the church was started. So if you're a believer, you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you are part of the global church. If there's somebody in the room right now who is also a Christian just like you, greet them. A happy birthday. It is our birthday today around the world. We're going to go straight into the message today. So go with me to Acts chapter 2. It's going to be right here on the screen. Acts chapter 2, it says, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then, what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. That is what the story that you saw just before the message started. That's a few moments ago. Sehi Duran's story is that. This is what happened hundreds of years ago, and it continues to happen today. We call this the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And right there in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, is where it's first recorded. So what were they saying? You say, well, I wasn't there, so I have to go back into Acts chapter 2. And a few verses down in verse 11, it says, those people who were hearing what was being said, it says there that we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done. That is the birth of the church. In fact, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, marked by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, with evidence of speaking in tongues, declaring the glory of God to many nations that were in Jerusalem on the Feast of Pentecost, the Festival of Pentecost. From around Asia, the Middle East, all of them heard them speaking, declaring God's glory. And the disciples, of course, didn't even know how to speak these languages, but there it was. They were declaring the glory of God. And from that day on, the church has continued to grow in leaps and bounds, reaching all the way to our islands here in the Philippines and, of course, around the world. And today, that is what we celebrate. We're going to talk a little bit about this because the main featured person here is the Holy Spirit. He is the one that is mentioned in this passage. Dr. Luke was the one who wrote the book of Acts. He was a doctor by profession, and he was writing this, addressing it to Theophilus, who was a Greek believer, and he investigated all these things as it was happening, and also from eyewitness accounts who were still alive in the first century. And so what is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? How do we know that there's a Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. That's right. We believe here at ICS Church in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, three but one. There are three in one. And it was the Holy Spirit who moved in power, birthing the church at this point. It's been the Holy Spirit throughout all these years that has been propelling, empowering every believer, every Christian, and the Church of Jesus Christ around the world That's the reason why it continues to grow with power and strength despite of the many adversities that the church has gone through throughout all the ages. It continues to thrive and flourish in a healthy way in many parts around the world. Now, you're saying, you know, it's talking about power. Yes, power. And just like, you know, the things that we see around us, power is significant. You know, a lot of us, we have mobile phones right now. In fact, you may be watching this on a mobile phone right now. If that's you, click the thumbs up if you're watching through your mobile phone right now. Now, one of the things that we discovered, you know, when we're excited about our mobile phones, but we start to get our frown faces and frown emojis the moment we see that battery blinking and telling us, hey, it's low. I don't know if it still blinks today. And I think the color just changes, right? And we're reminded, hold on, I need to find a power point somewhere to plug it in so that power could be restored and battery could be recharged and I could continue doing it. That is what the Holy Spirit does for every believer and for the church. He is the one that empowered the church to begin and continue to function and live in this day and age. At the same time, for every believer that chooses to follow Jesus Christ, they too are empowered by the Holy Spirit. He is the one that resides in each one of us. When Paul wrote that you are now a new creation, the old is gone, the new has come, that is the Holy Spirit coming in and renewing us from the inside out. It is the Holy Spirit that empowers believers. It is the Holy Spirit that empowers the church today. But unlike the battery source, where, you know, it comes and goes, or sometimes even our electricity in the house, if we haven't paid our bills, or for whatever reason, a lightning hits the main power supply outside, that power can go out just like that. The beauty about the Holy Spirit is that He is a constant, steady supply of power. He supplies that power without failure. It doesn't matter what the weather is like, whether there's a storm, whether there is a drought happening, whether you have a cell phone signal or not. No, the signal of the Holy Spirit never fades. It's always strong, and it's always available for every believer, for every Christian, for every church, and those who desire to experience God's presence in their life. That's right. Even if you don't know Jesus, even if you have not made a commitment to follow Jesus, did you know that God's presence is right there with you and He's desiring to actually fill your life, to occupy that space so that you can experience His ever-present help and His power through your everyday living and breathing? That's what we want to talk a little bit about today. So before the church was born, as Luke wrote it down in the book of Acts, Jesus was actually talking about it. Because when the church was born in Acts chapter 2, Jesus was no longer present. He had already ascended into heaven. But before He left, He was telling His followers, called disciples, about the coming of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to track back a little bit in history before the birth of the church to find out what Jesus actually has to say about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And in John chapter 14 is where we are going to camp at today. Here in John 14, John was one of the disciples of Jesus. He was one who followed Jesus wherever he was when he was on earth until Jesus was crucified, died, and ascended. So he was a very close companion. He heard, he saw, he spoke with, he interacted with Jesus. So this is one of the most credible eyewitnesses that we have today. And in his account, he writes down in the conversation he was having as Jesus was teaching, John 14 in verse 12, he says, "I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name," Jesus said, "and I will do it." So again, Jesus encouraging his disciples. He was actually prophesying and telling them, you know what? I'm about to go. I'm about to leave and depart this world. And they had no idea what he was talking about. because they weren't expecting him to go anywhere. But Jesus at this point was actually foretelling his soon death and resurrection and finally ascension up into heaven. And so he was reminding them, he was encouraging them, he was telling them, what? You're going to be able to do greater things. Now hold on, when we talk about greater things, does that mean we're going to do spectacular, more spectacular miracles than Jesus? Nope, that's not what he's talking about. The scholars and the experts tell us that Jesus was actually talking about in terms of influence, that the disciples would have greater influence than Jesus had when he was here on earth. What do you mean, Pastor Chad? How can they have greater influence? Well, you see, when Jesus was on earth, he was confined in Galilee, in Jerusalem, and in all these coastal towns around Israel. He never went beyond Israel. But after the birth of the church in the book of Acts, and after Jesus had already ascended into heaven, this is when the church grew in leaps and bounds. Jesus actually also prophesied about this when he said to them, you're going to make disciples of all nations. And so the church grew beyond Jerusalem. It actually went all around the world. And historians tell us that even one of the disciples, one of the apostles of Jesus, Thomas, went as far as the country of India in the hopes of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that is what Jesus was talking about here, scholars tell us, when he was saying that there's going to be greater influence. And the only way for that to happen was for the Holy Spirit to come and empower every believer to do what they were able to do. That's exactly what happened. And he says, you know, when you come, you call upon my name, yes, I will answer you. Now, some people have taken that and put their own meaning to it and saying, you know what? I'm just going to ask Jesus for whatever. You know, I want $5 million. I want it tomorrow. Or I want a house and lot by the age of whatever age that is. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about, you know what, name it and claim it and it's going to be yours. All right? What he was saying here was, you know, ask anything in accordance to his will, in accordance to his purpose. When we delight ourselves in the Lord, it follows that we begin to ask and desire what God desires. And when we do that, of course, he's going to answer that. When we pray, Lord, bring salvation to my family who don't know you, of course, God desires to answer those prayers. Why? Because that's his will, that none would perish, that many would come to know him as Savior and Redeemer of their life. So, you know, we've got to look at scriptures a lot of times and be sure that we're interpreting it the way the original author, writers, and communicator, in this case, Jesus' intention was. And it really is all about context. You know, that's something that you learn when we're taking literature, right? And that's something that we find here as well. So ask whatever you desire in my name, and it will be granted as long as it's asked according to the purposes of God. So how does that actually happen? How does all this work out? Jesus continues to explain that in the following verses. Here is what he says. So how does this work out? He says in verse 15, if you love me, obey my commandment. If you love me, obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. Now, it says here, advocate. If you have an English translation of the Bible, the Holy Spirit is also called the counselor. And so in the original language, which is Greek, right, Koine Greek, the word here for the Holy Spirit is parakletos, which actually means one called alongside to help. One called alongside to help. That is the role of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is saying, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to be there, to help you, to assist you, to empower you. And we don't really have an equivalent word for that original word. That's why in the English, they use different translations. When Jesus was talking about, I'm going to send somebody to be your helper, some say advocate. That's what we read today. But here are some of the words that will help us understand what parakletos means, right? It means counselor, strengthener, comforter, helper, advisor, advocate, intercessor, ally, and friend. Now, I don't know about you, but how many of you guys want that in your life? Yeah, I know I do. You know, I want somebody who will be like this to me. Now, I love my wife, and she's my friend. You know, she's my ally. She's a lot of these things, actually. But she can't be with me everywhere all the time. Only the Holy Spirit can do that, right? That's the huge difference. And so this is something that Jesus is promising the disciples. Again, he was still present when he was telling them this. You know, I remember when I was younger in grade school, and there were older kids in grade school than me. And, you know, sometimes you have bullies, you interact with them. And, you know, I never liked bullies. I don't think anybody really likes bullies all that much. And one of these bullies came to me when I was in grade one, and he wasn't very nice. And so I started crying. Good thing there was somebody that was older. This bully was in grade three. A friend of mine was in grade six, and he saw what was happening. He came to my rescue, and pretty much, you know, I never told him to hurt the guy, but he basically shoved him aside and says, "What are you doing?" And he came to my defense, and he said, "You know, if you ever do anything to him again, to me, then he was going to answer to my grade six friend." I felt really confident at that point. You know, at that point, I'm like, hey, can you just be with me wherever I go? You know, when I go back to my classroom, when I play in the playground, can you, my grade six friend, be with me? And of course, that can't happen because he's in grade six. He has his own class. But, you know, whenever I understood this, the role of the Holy Spirit, this is what it reminded me of. It's like, yes, he is always present, ready to help, ready to assist, ready to guide, ready to counsel. And Jesus would continue to explain, you know, he's the one that will show you all truth as well. This is the role of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus was prophesying to the disciples before the birth of the church that, hey, the Holy Spirit is going to come. I'm going to send him. As you obey my commandments, as I honor God the Father, the Holy Spirit will be sent. And so let's continue reading here. It says, the world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. Now, how is that possible? How can the world not recognize the Holy Spirit? Well, you see, this is how God is. This is who he is. Despite the fact that he has allowed himself to be known throughout all creation, through his own son Jesus, here on earth, there are still many that Paul writes. He says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so they cannot see the light of the gospel that is Jesus Christ. That's the work of the enemy. And there are just some people who refuses to believe in Jesus as Savior and Lord. And so because of this, they cannot experience and encounter the Holy Spirit. It's because they have willfully rejected the Holy Spirit's conviction and revelation of Jesus Christ. But Jesus says, you guys who are my disciples, you know him because he lives in you. So for those of us who put our faith in Jesus, if you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus, we don't question that. We believe that, yes, the Holy Spirit is present. Why? Because we have experienced him. The Holy Spirit is not just an idea. It's not just a thought. It's not just a feeling. No, it's a person who resides in each of us. He occupies our life. You know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. Now, he was saying he lives in you now because he has already revealed Jesus as Savior and Lord. But then he talks about something later, right? And later he will be in you. He was actually talking about the book of Acts, that the baptism was about to come. Yes, he's already present, but he will be in you because I haven't sent him yet. Remember, Jesus said, I'm going to send the advocate. He also said, unless I go to the Father, I cannot send the Holy Spirit. So presently, he was already at work in their lives, but there was more that was to come. Come on, everybody say more. Yeah, tell somebody beside you, more. There was more that was to come. And that's what he talks about here. In verse 18, he says, no, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Again, Jesus was talking about his soon departure. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you also will live. When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them. And I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. Wow. I mean, that's a lot of love right there. Can you feel the love in those statements? Jesus is saying, you know what? You guys are starting to get worried. I'm actually, even though physically I'm not going to be present, we will be reunited. Even though physically I'm not going to be present, I will actually be in you. And how is that going to happen? Again, fast forward, Book of Acts, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that he ends up sending. The advocate, the helper, the intercessor, the ally, the friend. He is the one that is sent. Throughout all these things, Jesus explaining, really, this is all about the love relationship between the Heavenly Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He's saying, you know, unless you obey my commandments, follow me, believe in me as the way, the truth, and the life, you cannot go to Father God. And unless the Holy Spirit comes, right, and you welcome him when he is poured out, then it's going to be impossible for us to continue to be connected and even to enjoy fellowship in eternity. There is a season for each one. And he was saying, hey, all of us have different roles. The Father has a role. Remember this? John also wrote this down in John 3:16. He said, for God the Father so loved the world that he sent his Son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. The Holy Spirit is the one that convicts us of sin and enables us to live that kind of life. Here's a thought that we need to remember today. Our life is saved and sustained by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that saves us. Jesus is revealed, but the Holy Spirit is the one that convicts us, right? Through Jesus' death, resurrection, we are saved. That one sacrifice covers all of our sin. But it's the Holy Spirit that convinces us, that convicts us of that sin. It's the Holy Spirit that then resides us and changes us from the inside out. So now that we understand that that's what the Holy Spirit does, what do we need to do? We need to remember that the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, enables us to live right, gifts us for service, empowers us to be effective witnesses for Jesus. This is what the Holy Spirit does today. This is what he's always done ever since, and he continues to do that today. So you say, what am I to do? What am I supposed to do? I mean, Pastor Jad, I'm convinced that, yes, the Holy Spirit is the one that is fueling the church. He is the one that is blowing in the sails of the church. How am I supposed to respond? How am I supposed to respond? Let's go back to what Jesus said. He says, unless you obey my commands, then I cannot lift you up to the Father. We need to love God the Father by obeying Jesus' commands, empowered by the Holy Spirit. This needs to be our response. Our Heavenly Father loves us. Our Heavenly Father is the one that sent Jesus. Jesus agreed, yes, Lord, I'm going to go. I'm going to live a sinless life. I'm going to die on the cross for all of humanity's sin. And I'm going to resurrect 3 days later. And he did that. And then it was the Holy Spirit's turn. And Jesus said, you know, I'm going to send the advocate. I'm going to send the helper, the friend, the intercessor, the ally, the counselor. I'm going to send them so that those who believe in me, you disciples that were listening to him, and those that are yet to come, you will know that you are not alone. You will know that even though physically you cannot see me any longer, you need to know that I am still present. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has been sent. The third person of the Godhead, of the Trinity, is present. And you say, how do I know? How do I know that the Holy Spirit? Well, you see, we walk by faith and not by sight. And some of us who are always going after feelings, you know, we're not always going to feel that. In the testimony that Say he shared earlier, it was something that she wasn't even expecting. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit came and she was least expecting it. And it came. She was already a follower of Jesus. And that Holy Spirit came to empower us beyond salvation, to enable us to live right, a righteous way of living, to experience the gifts manifesting in our lives so that we could build up the body of Christ and so that we could be empowered witnesses for Jesus wherever we go. The Holy Spirit is a spirit, so we can't see the Holy Spirit, but it is present. He is present. It's like the sailboat. You know, if you've seen a sailboat, it's interesting because what powers that boat to move is wind. All you need is a sail. You put the sail out, and hopefully you catch the wind. The moment you catch the wind, the sailboat begins to move. But when there is no wind, the sailboat can't go anywhere. The interesting thing is, you'll never see the wind. None of us do. But we will always see the effects of the wind. And that's what the Holy Spirit does in the life of every Christian, in the life of the church today. We may not see the person of the Holy Spirit, but all of us can experience once the Holy Spirit starts to move in our life. We're enabled, we're convicted of our sin. That's one thing. We are enabled to live righteously and holy lives. That's what the Holy Spirit does. We begin to experience the spiritual gifts manifesting in our lives to build a church. And we are empowered to be effective witnesses for Jesus Christ. We may not see the Holy Spirit itself, but those are the evidences based on what we read in scriptures of what the Holy Spirit does today. If you today, as you're watching this, you're feeling a defeated life. You feel like, you know, there's so much strife going on in the world today. Not just the pandemic, but even before the pandemic started, before lockdown happened, before ECQ happened, I was just going through so much difficulty in my life. You may be a Christian, you may not be a Christian. The one missing ingredient, maybe it's because you have never acknowledged the presence of the Holy Spirit to do a work in you. And Jesus said, hey, you want to know how to experience the Holy Spirit? Obey my commands. This is how you express love to Jesus. To Him, as what He said, obedience to His commands is an expression of our love towards Him. And when we do that, He says He will hear us when we pray. Because Jesus will pray for us. In fact, that's what He continues to do right now. He sits in heaven, interceding for those who are coming to their Heavenly Father in Jesus' name. And at the same time, He sends the Holy Spirit to empower us and to lead us. As you have listened to this brief talk, this message, would you just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you right now and just say, Lord, help me to move from where I am to where You want me to be. Let's join the worship team. Let's just, we respond and worship to the Lord right now.
We make way. We make room. Lord, let Your Spirit move. Have Your Lord.
You know, the Holy Spirit is present right now in the room where you are. He is present wherever we go. We can encounter Him in our lives. And Jesus is the one. He is the one that will send the Holy Spirit to us in our circumstances, in our situation. So let's come to Him right now. Let's come to Jesus. If you're going through difficulties, would you come and just surrender it to Him? If you don't know Jesus as Savior and Lord, today could be the day when that begins. Just join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for Your love for us. Thank You for sending Jesus, Your Son, to be our Savior, to be our Redeemer. Thank You, Jesus, for coming on earth, to living a perfect, sinless life, to dying on the cross so that we won't have to die for our own sins, resurrecting never to die again, giving us a hope for our future. Thank You at the same time for sending the Holy Spirit. You did not leave the church and Your disciples alone when You ascended into heaven. And today, Lord, the only reason that the church continues to thrive and flourish is because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. So for each one of us, Lord, that are feeling defeated, the feeling dry, tired, worn out, sick, Lord, we ask that You send the Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, to encounter the Holy Spirit, not just today, but every day, and to be filled by His presence, that we may experience victories in our lives. Even through the most difficult and trying times, we know that we can experience peace, hope, and triumph because of Your presence through the Holy Spirit. So thank You. Thank You. You may be here right now. You have never followed Jesus as Savior and Lord. If you pray that prayer with us today and you surrender your life to Him, know that Jesus has become your Lord and Master today. All of the heaven rejoices when you make that choice. And we know there are things that we need to learn. Just like all of us who have come to follow Jesus, we need to know what's next. What's the next step? How do I grow as a follower of Jesus? Well, we're here to help you. As a church, we exist to love, disciple, and send people so that they could continue to do the same. And so that's you. Would you send us a message right here on the stream or email us at info@icschurch.com. Let us know how we can help you where you are. Again, I want to thank you so much for joining us today in this prayer stream on this celebration service. We pray that you will continue to experience the power of the Lord every day in your life. Know that He is always accessible, that His presence through the Holy Spirit is there as you come in Jesus' name through all your situations. God bless you. Have a great week.
We pray that you are encouraged by this message. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.